Folks, I am super excited. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur. I don't know if you know that. We've got an amazing show for you guys. Let me explain a couple of reasons why. Number one, tonight is the beginning of the NFL season. Dun, 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 dun. That has nothing to do with anything except it's got me in a good mood. And I've got Brandon Cooks in the first game. Super excited. All right. Number two, we have devastating stories for you guys. We have Democratic victories? What is this? Trump compromises? So very serious stories, light stories. And then the first segment is going to be nothing but fun. But lastly, just as we gear up here, are you guys seeing this? That's Rosa Parks holding a resist sign. That is an awesome t-shirt. ShopTYT.com. I'm sorry, but it's happening. It's already on there. ShopTYT.com, men's, women's, different colors. It's like my favorite shirt of all time, immediately, instantly. Sorry, hashtag not at all sorry. Let's go over here for the first story. Okay, let's start with a little bit of fun. Okay, Trump's going to North Dakota. There are some political implications here, but we are not going to cover that. Instead, we're going to have nothing but fun here. He apparently randomly brought Ivanka Trump because she apparently wanted to come. We're going to have a wonderfully awkward moment with Donald Trump here. Let's watch.
Come up, honey. Should I bring Ivanka up? Come up. Sometimes they'll say, you know, he can't be that bad a guy. Look at Ivanka. No, come on up, honey. She's so good. She wanted to make the trip. She said, Dad, can I go with you? She actually said, Daddy, can I go with you? I like that, right? Daddy, can I go with you? I said, yes, you can. Where are you going? North Dakota. I said, oh, I like North Dakota. Hi, honey.
That's so weird, man. You're such a weirdo. Please stop talking. She said, Daddy, can I come with you? Oh, please, for Christ's sake, where are you going? But why did you want to go with him in the first place if you don't even know where he's going? Oh, yeah, North Dakota. We love North Dakota. By the way, Chief of Staff John Kelly, I'm going to make it slightly political, was on the trip as well as Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and a couple of senators, including a Democratic senator. They were making deals. She didn't care about North Dakota. So she didn't want to miss out on any of the political dramas going on the plane. Anyway, but she finally comes up. Let's watch.
Hi, North Dakota. We love this state, so it's always a pleasure to be back here.
No, they've never been there before in their lives. Look, to be fair, I didn't look it up. Okay, were they there during the primaries and the general election? Maybe, probably. Have the Trumps ever traveled to North Dakota outside of a political context? Ain't no Trump Tower in North Dakota. There's no Sun Valley like there is in Idaho. There's no fancy places. We love North Dakota. I wish there was a reporter who said, please, name me one thing you like about North Dakota. It's next to South Dakota. Okay, let's keep it going.
You treated us very, very well in November and have continued to. So we like sharing the love back. Thank you.
Thank you, honey. Thanks, baby. Come.
Yeah, stop it. Okay, by the way, why did you bring her up?
We love you, North Dakota. Thank you. Thank you, Daddy.
They are so weird. All right, not an important story. We don't need to go to DEFCON 1 or 5, whichever one's more important here. I'm just having fun, that's all. Have fun with me. Go. That's it. That's I'm done with the story. I'm done with it. That's all there was. Okay. All right, next story. Okay. Apparently, InfoWars has a reporter named Owen Schroyer. No, that's actually his name. As far as we know, but everything they do is fake, so you never know. And he went to an anti-Trump rally, and he went and talked to apparently women that were at that rally, and he decided to pick on a little girl. It didn't turn out well for him. Let's watch.
How are you, young man?
You're an idiot.
Wow, who taught you that language? So your mother taught you that foul language?
In the car.
And why am I an idiot? Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. That is, oh, my God.
God bless her heart. Boy, did they have that coming. I don't know if she was mad at him because she knows what InfoWars is and she was afraid that that guy was 80% bear, 80% chicken, 80% gorilla. I don't know. Okay, although he looks like a humanoid. You got to ask Alex Jones about that. Or because he, what a dick. He comes up to a young little girl and goes, what does she say? How are you, young man? So either way, he more than had it coming. God bless your heart. Now that's a true American patriot you just watched there in that little girl. That's all I got on that story. Nothing but fun. Okay. I keep rolling. Okay. So we have right-wing websites like Breitbart. And they from time to time will yell at the mainstream press and say, fake news. Now look, I think the mainstream press has a lot of issues, and we give what I view to be a legitimate critique of them, and I will point out facts and statistics and polls that show that they are wrong. That's not the direction the right wing goes. So instead they yell at the mainstream press, and then they turn around and do stuff like this. They have an article now on Breitbart, and the headline is 2,139 DACA recipients convicted or accused of crimes against Americans. Okay. We're going to break down how misleading that is in 1,000 different ways. First of all, let's just note that the piece sources previous articles by Breitbart. So do they actually have evidence that that's the amount of crimes that were committed by DACA recipients?
They're like, our evidence for our Breitbart piece are our earlier speculative Breitbart pieces.
And if you notice in the title, it said, convicted or accused of crimes. Really, you looked up accused of crimes. Okay, anyway, super vague. All right, let's keep going. And then the writer, John Binder, says that this is a quote, a staggering amount. Is it? Is it? There's 800,000 DACA recipients. So we did the math because Breitbart, of course, doesn't believe in math. So percentage of DACA recipients convicted or accused of crimes, if you believe Breitbart and their earlier Breitbart pieces, is in reality only 0.26%. And that's not even true. But wow, your stunning revelation of staggering numbers was a quarter of 1%. By the way, many different actual news articles have pointed out that actual American citizens are convicted of crimes at much higher rates. Staggering. But that's not even why I'm doing this story. That's usual nonsense propaganda for the right wing. I was more amused by the picture that was that accompanied this story. Because I know they don't like fake news. I know it. So they had this picture up. Oh my God, look at these DACA recipients throwing out gang signs. They look very dangerous. No wonder there's been a staggering number of crimes committed by these DACA recipients. If you haven't guessed by now, that is not DACA recipients. That is a photograph of members of MS-13 or Mara Salvatrucha. I cannot pronounce that. All right, that's an actual gang and a really, really dangerous one. So whereas Dreamers are overwhelmingly 97% either in school or have jobs, incredibly productive members of society, a good percentage of them have started their own companies and hiring other Americans, 16% of them own houses. They are not pictured at all there. They're like, ah, who cares? All we do is lie. Oh, they're mainstream news. Oh, I'm so shocked and chagrined by their fake news. Let's do more fake news. Anyone who trusts Breitbart, well, let's just say they're not very bright. Bart, oh, God, that was terrible. That was almost worse than their picture. Okay. All right, they're nonsense, man. They're the originators of fake news, and you know it, and everything they do gives you ample evidence of that. I'm already done with the first segment, man. This show is like a freight train. Where is it going? No one knows. But it's a little bit out of control. Okay, now we do have to bring it down a little bit because we're going to talk about Hurricane Irma, and that is devastating when we come back. But the good news is coming. Democrats actually got a good deal. Oh, I'm over here. Democrats actually got a good deal from Donald Trump, which is amazing. Republicans are pissed. You're going to love the way we cover that. Go, come back. All right, back on the actors. God damn it, I forgot to do one video. I forgot to show you video 10. Let's cue that up for a real quick second, Jesus. just wanted to add that Alex Jones turned out was he was pretty mad at that girl who flipped off InfoWars. This is what happened afterwards.
Come on, you're not an intellectual. You're a fake and a fraud.
Idiot. All right, anyways, just having fun, as we're about to now. I don't have time for tweets, I'll get it to you later in the program. Remember, shop TYT.com, everybody, TYTnetwork.com/join. Enjoy the whole show, commercial free, get all the shows. We're over here, we're moving, okay. You know what, this deserves a little bit of this, okay? We have a little bit of news. That's almost kind of good news. You know what we did? It turns out Donald Trump and the Democrats made a deal, and a deal that makes sense. Wow, didn't see that coming. It was on the debt ceiling, and I thought for sure that Donald Trump would screw this up. The Republicans wanted him to screw it up, so it was a recipe for disaster, but he didn't. So Paul Ryan had said earlier, raising the debt ceiling for a short term, for a short period of time, and combining it with Hurricane Harvey relief aid, that is, quote, ridiculous and disgraceful idea. Okay? Interesting. So what happened yesterday? During a meeting with congressional leaders at the White House on Wednesday, President Donald Trump backed a proposal from Democrats to tie aid for Hurricane Harvey to a 3-month debt limit increase, and a short-term government funding bill through December, much to the reported consternation of congressional Republicans. That's kind of awesome. So he had the Republicans in the room. He's like, no, I don't think so. I'm going to go with Nancy and Chuck here. In fact, let me give you more details. Jake Sherman reports, Trump agrees to 3-month debt limit increase in meeting with Hill leaders. All GOP leaders were opposed per multiple sources. Interesting. So the exact thing that Paul Ryan said was ridiculous and disgraceful is the one that apparently they made the deal on, even though there were Republicans in the room going, don't do it. McConnell, who was also in the room, Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, told reporters that Trump reached a deal with Schumer and Pelosi in the meeting with congressional leaders today. So there he's confirming it. So one more here from Talking Points memo. Trump's decision to side with Democrats left conservatives fuming. Senator Tom Tillis, a Republican of North Carolina, described the deal as fiscal malpractice, and the Conservative Heritage Foundation blasted the proposal as political cowardice. Damn, so I love it. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, more conservative heads are about to explode. President Trump and Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer have agreed to pursue a deal that would permanently remove the requirement that Congress repeatedly raise the debt ceiling, three people familiar with the decision said. So now look, the debt ceiling is nonsense. It's after we have already gotten the debt, we're saying, should we pay it or should we not pay it? Of course we should pay it. It was ridiculous that they played politics under Obama, the Republicans did. Now the Democrats are saying, we won't do likewise. We won't play politics with it, let's just raise it. In fact, maybe let's just get rid of it, even though it would give us leverage over you. And Trump's like, all right, great, then I don't have to deal with this nonsense. And they might have a deal about that. But the people who like to play politics with it are Republican congressmen. And they say, oh, they're all outraged. Tom Tillis' Heritage Foundation, Paul Ryan, he thinks it's a bad idea. And the reason is every time debt ceiling comes up, they know that we have to lift it. Otherwise, it's going to destroy the full faith and credit of the United States and might mess with the markets completely. So they use it as a hostage to demand tax cuts for the rich, spending cuts for middle class Americans, et cetera, et cetera. So when they saw that Trump might even do a deal, not only the deal he already did, but one to get rid of the debt ceiling altogether, this was their reaction. Heads exploding. All right, more from the Washington Post now. The two, along with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, agreed to work together over the next several months to try to finalize a plan which would need to be approved by Congress. Not only is he thinking of getting rid of the debt ceiling altogether, he's working with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Republican reaction. Not only that, there was a picture taken. I don't know how they get these pictures. Who's the creeper hanging out right in front of, right outside the Oval Office? And why hasn't the Secret Service removed him? Anyway, they got this picture of Donald Trump and Chuck Schumer smiling together and Trump almost hugging Schumer. Republican reaction. Fun for everybody, except the Republicans. All right, here's Donald Trump confirming it. On Thursday, Trump was asked by a reporter at the White House about abolishing congressional process for raising the debt ceiling. He replied that there are a lot of good reasons to do that. It could be discussed, he said. For many years, people have been talking about getting rid of the debt ceiling altogether. In other words, he's going to do it. I'm going to continue to have more fun here. Before we go to the next story, I'm actually going to play you guys videos 2 through 4. No, 2 through 5. So this is Paul Ryan's angry reaction. Now he's trying not to be angry because Trump did a deal with the Democrats on the debt ceiling. So Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, they hugged it out. Everybody's happy except Paul Ryan. But now he can't oppose President Trump because he's in his own party. He's kind of stuck. So let's go to Ryan's reaction.
After yesterday's meeting with the president, do you believe that you have a trustworthy negotiating partner in the president that takes into account the interests of the Republican
Party? I do. And look, I know there's a lot of interpretations and all of this stuff about the meeting yesterday. Isn't it a good thing that congressional leaders talk? I mean, that's probably a pretty good thing, number one. Number two, the president made it really clear. And what he was aiming for in that meeting yesterday was a bipartisan moment while the country is facing two horrible hurricanes.
Wait a minute. I didn't hear anything about the hurricanes. I think they just lifted the debt ceiling. He's like, because it was the hurricanes, right? What does that have to do with the issue? Yeah. You got to bring the country together. Wait a minute. Didn't you say you hated this potential deal the day before? They asked him about that.
You described the plan to bundle Harvey relief with a raise in the debt ceiling as, I think, ridiculous and disgraceful. I'd be curious.
No, I didn't describe it that way. I think you're putting words in my mouth. I described a short-term debt limit. Look, I'm worried about the credit markets and doing this on short-term basis. We can't keep doing it that way. I was making an economic point, which is with respect to the credit markets, I think stability and longevity are key.
So you did not call it ridiculous and disgraceful. That's putting words in your mouth. Really? Let's go to Paul Ryan from yesterday.
I think that's a ridiculous idea. I hope that they don't mean that. Let's just think about this. We've got all this devastation in Texas. We've got another unprecedented hurricane about to hit Florida. And they want to play politics with a debt ceiling? And then they also want to threaten default on our debt? I think that's ridiculous and disgraceful that they want to play politics with the debt ceiling at this moment when we have fellow citizens in need to respond to these hurricanes so that we do not strand them.
God, I love catching politicians in lies. It's my favorite thing in the world. So the day before, he's like, to combine Hurricane Harvey with lifting the short-term debt ceiling, that is outrageous, ridiculous, and disgraceful. Today, that's exactly what they did. And he's like, me? Did I call it ridiculous and disgraceful? No, we had to do it because of the hurricanes. You just said it was a terrible idea to do it in the middle of the hurricanes. Okay. Oh, you're putting words in my mouth. I didn't say ridiculous and disgraceful. Really, one more time.
You described the plan to bundle Harvey relief with a raise in the debt ceiling as, I think, ridiculous and disgraceful. I'd be curious.
No, I didn't describe it that way. I think you're putting words in my mouth.
You know what? I'm going to do it. Go back to yesterday one more time. Video 4. Did we put words in his mouth or did he actually utter these words? Let's watch.
I think that's a ridiculous idea. I hope that they don't mean that. Let's just think about this. We've got all this devastation in Texas. We've got another unprecedented hurricane about to hit Florida. And they want to play politics with a debt ceiling? And then they also want to threaten default on our debt? I think that's ridiculous and disgraceful that they want to play politics with the debt ceiling at this moment when we have fellow citizens in need to respond to these hurricanes so that we do not strand them.
Oops. even though he didn't want it, that they made that deal, and that's why you saw him like, jeez. No, I didn't say that. The Marco Rubio moment for Paul Ryan. Okay, got you, big guy. I don't know if you know this, you're on tape, and you didn't say it years ago, you just said it yesterday. Okay, we're moving on. Let's go to Dream On. So not only did the Democrats lift the debt ceiling with Donald Trump and strike that deal, they might have a deal coming up for the Dreamers. Wow, that's interesting. So first, let me show you some of the good feelings that Donald Trump has towards Nancy and Chuck, as he's calling them. That's Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. On the debt ceiling issue, he said, we had a very good meeting with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And political reports, Trump appeared to give Schumer something of a man hug in the Oval Office as grimacing aides looked on. I love that description. So now, when it came to the idea of the Dream Act, Trump said, hey, I'm going to end the executive order of Obama on DACA, but he held out a very slim hope in the beginning that, hey, maybe Congress will do something, and if they do, I'm not saying that I'm going to be opposed to that bill. Well, it turns out Nancy Pelosi might have actually talked him into it. And she said, I was telling my colleagues, this is what I asked the president to do, and boom, 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 the tweet appeared. And look, I don't want her to glow too much because I actually want it to happen. But let's look at the tweet now because I think she's right about that. And it says, Trump then tweeted, for all those DACA that are concerned about your status during the 6-month period, you have nothing to worry about. No action. Okay. So look, you can't trust anything Donald Trump says, so I'm not going to go and have a party over it. But it does appear that Nancy Pelosi asked him to tweet something, and he did. It was something positive, which is shocking. And so Pelosi then went on and said, the president said he supports that, the Dream Act. He would sign it. We have to get it passed. That's a priority. So what was conservative reaction to that? Okay, wait, should we do it one more time? Let's go to video 11. And here is the tweet version of that. Ann Coulter writing, possible 2020 slogan, I broke my promises, betrayed my friends, and used my office to help my family. But hey, at least I'm not Hillary. Damn, shots fired. Fascinating turn of events for at least on these two issues for at least these 2 days. Apparently, Donnie is now tight with Chuck and Nancy, and the conservatives are seething mad. Let's hope it keeps up. Hey, by the way, credit to the Democrats. I don't think that they deserve very much credit on many of the issues, but where credit is due, I am enormously happy to give it to them. So they did get Trump to side with them instead of the Democrats. Raising the debt ceiling is a good thing. Getting Trump to at least promise that he would sign the Dream Act is a very good thing. So great job, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, on this issue. Okay, so am I not the fairest man in America? Jesus, I'm merciful. All right, now let's go to the last part of this story. Okay. I already love this graphic. Okay, so Donald Trump did the debt ceiling deal with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and he actually got a lot of credit for it, which makes sense. It's actually a layup. Everybody raises the debt ceiling. You have to raise the debt ceiling, otherwise you'll entirely screw up the credit of this country. You'll screw up the stock market. It's disastrous to play around with it. But anyway, I give credit to the Democrats and Trump for making this deal, and so did the rest of the press. So then we have this report coming out of Politico, which greatly amuses me, because Donnie Tiny Hands was apparently thrilled about this. He says, in calls with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi Thursday morning, Trump raved about the positive news coverage it had received, according to people familiar with the calls, and he seemed very pleased with his decision. He is such an amusing child. He's like, they said nice things about me on TV. Yeah, if you do things that are popular, you get good coverage. It's weird that he's surprised by it, and it's weird how excited he is. What did you think was going to happen? Okay, he says Trump specifically mentioned TV segments praising the deal and indicated he'd been watching in a call with Schumer, two people said. And he was jovial in a call with Pelosi and agreed to send a tweet she asked for about the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. That's the DACA program for Dreamers. These people said while also mentioning the deal had gotten. He indicated that both leaders he would be willing to work together again. So he's like, I got lots of presents. They said nice things about me on TV. Okay, you know what, Nancy and Chuck, I'm in such a good mood. I want to work with you again. You want to do DACA? Sure, who cares? Let's do DACA. But wait, didn't you just try to kill DACA a couple of days ago? But I didn't know they were going to say nice things about me on TV. What a child, what a child. Good, by the way, great, great news. TV people, keep saying nice things if he does halfway reasonable stuff. Okay, God, he's unreal, man. He's such a, all right. One unnamed White House source said about the positive news coverage he got, which is very rare for Trump, quote, he seemed super upbeat, yay. And another unnamed White House source said he told Nancy Pelosi he was giddy, and he said that he had gotten good coverage, but so had she. And he said, the press has been incredible. Man, look, this is a positive story overall. I'm glad they did the deal. I'm glad that Trump is happy about it. I'm glad that he wants to make further deals with Democrats. As long as it's deals we're happy with and not on his terms on giant tax cuts for the rich. So overall, good news. But even in his reaction to this, it betrays a naivete about how things work that is borderline shocking. Like, you know that if you make this deal, I mean, look, even you could, if you're a conservative, you could even spin it this way. You know that the press is more in line with establishment Democrats. So if you do a deal with establishment Democrats, they're more likely to praise you. How is that a surprise to you? If you lift the debt ceiling, you know that, how do you not know that the press is in favor of that? And that has nothing to do with them being for establishment Democrats. It has to do with them being rational human beings. So, and then the way that you get so excited if anyone praises you, it's just so sad. He really is a man child. But I'd rather have him focused on cake news than fake news. I got cake. They gave me cake on TV. Good, Donnie. Good, Donnie. Keep doing that. Oh, okay. I got to take a break. When we come back, we're finally going to get serious. I got Hurricane Irma news. It is unreal, man. Some of the video is unreal, and the devastation is unreal. And then what I'm going to do, the New York Times, is also devastating and unreal. There was an article that I think it was outrageous, and I'm going to explain that to you guys. And explain to you how the media is not at all liberal in reality. They might love establishment Democrats, that's a different thing. Do they like progressives? Hell no. You'll see when we return. All right, back on the Young Turks. Let me read a couple of quick tweets for you guys. Woke Poppy says, of course Trump likes Ivanka. Have you seen his sons? That's a good point. I mean, his sons are a mess. He's not winning with his sons. So he's like, I don't know, she seems way smarter than the rest of us. Come up here, baby. Unregistered Chicano writes in, jokes on InfoWars trying to ambush Lyanna Mormont. Excellent Game of Thrones reference, nice job. And the great Derp says, when Republican politicians complain there isn't enough bipartisanship, then their heads explode when something does happen. And then if one last one, the liberal mom says, I don't think Trump gets politics. He sides with whatever person strokes his ego hard enough. This time it was Chuck and Nancy. I think that's exactly right. He's just not bright enough. I gotta be honest with you, not bright enough. Member shout outs today are Catherine Clark and Michael Carlson. You guys are going to get a wonderful post game today. You've got Dave Cole reporting in. He interviews the TYT reporters and contributors. Ooh, I like that. And we've given you some amazing post games throughout the week. And also, of course, a wonderful edition of Old School last night. We got a post game today for you guys too, of course. The Dave Kohler one's on Fridays. Last night on Old School, we broke down the funniest movies ever with Brett. John, there's a new nickname for him, Yada Yada Yadarola. That man of 1,000 nicknames. And it was me and Ben as well. So check that out if you're a member in Aggressive Progressives tonight at 6 o'clock. So everybody go, but stay. All right, now we got to do serious stuff. Let's go to Irma. Oh, I'm sorry, tytnetwork.com/join if you want to become a member. Okay. We had Hurricane Harvey. It was devastating. Over 60 people killed, tens of thousands displaced. And then the meteorologist told us Hurricane Irma had turned into a Category 5 in the Atlantic Ocean, the largest storm ever recorded in the Atlantic Basin. And nonetheless, after those forecasts, Rush Limbaugh went on air and basically said that it was all hype and that it wasn't real. And he said this.
The reason that I am leery of forecasts this far out, folks, is because I see how the system works. The one thing that's undeniable throughout our culture is that everything has been politicized. And in that sense, much of our public information system, including from the government, from the drive-by media, has been corrupted.
So basically telling folks, you don't have to worry about the storm. It's all politicized, ironically, as he politicizes it, and that it's corrupted information. Well, this is not fake news. This is unfortunately deadly real. Hurricane Irma's death toll already, as it rips through the Caribbean, is 13 dead. Its intensity is unreal. It's a Category 5 hurricane. In order to get to a Category 5, you have to have 157 miles per hour. It is has a top wind speed of 185 miles per hour. Like I said, the most severe storm ever seen in the Atlantic. And you know, during Hurricane Harvey, I played clips for you explaining how the warmer temperatures picks up more moisture, creates more severe storms. This is not me saying it, it's not Al Gore saying it. It's almost every scientist in the world explained exactly how that phenomenon works well before these storms. That it happened to Houston in Hurricane Harvey, and now it is happening to the Caribbean. Utter destruction in its path. Hurricane Irma is coming. Not only that, we now have two other storms that I'm going to tell you about as well. Katia and Jose have also formed. There are a number of storms here. Let me show you its path here as you see some of the destruction in the Caribbean. It doesn't look like a war zone because war zones, I'm not sure, look that bad. So it is going to rip through the Caribbean and then go. Most likely path, and of course these storms do diverge from time to time, is through Florida and some of the other southern states. I'm going to tell you about the reaction there as well. But now let me show you the three storms that are coming. It's not just Irma. Irma is the largest. But as you look at this satellite image from the CNN Weather Center, you've got Irma, a gigantic storm in the middle there. You've got Katia, that is now a hurricane on the Gulf Coast, and you've got Jose, which is now a hurricane, was a tropical storm, but now a hurricane as they get more and more severe, following right in Irma's footsteps. This is an unbelievable punch after punch after punch. It was Harvey, now three more all at the same time. CNN explains further, Irma is one of the three active hurricanes in the Atlantic Basin. The last time this happened was in 2010. The others are Jose in the open Atlantic, far to the southeast of Irma, and Katia in the Gulf of Mexico. You know, sometimes you'll hear insane right-wing talking points about how, oh no, we haven't had a hurricane in 12 years, so the climate scientists weren't right. No, no, there's hurricanes all over. The question is, do they hit the United States of America? But in their limited vision, they're so short-sighted, so self-centered. If it doesn't hit America, it doesn't really count, and climate change isn't real. Does it look fake to you right now? Yes, these are real pictures, real videos. This is actually what's happening with Hurricane Irma. It is unreal. So it's amazing. And yes, in this case, unfortunately, it looks like it's going to hit us as well. Puerto Rico, they say a million people might lose their electricity and power and not get it back for a month. Okay, around 2 p.m. Eastern, Irma was moving west-northwest with maximum sustained winds of 175 miles per hour. Irma previously had winds over 180 miles per hour, keeping those speeds longer than any storm ever recorded in the Atlantic Basin. Now, we believe that it is going to hit the United States eventually. We're not the only ones who believe that. It is actually Republican governors and all the governors in the South who believe that. Florida is not the only state preparing for possible impact. Georgia's governor, besides ordering coastal evacuations from Saturday, declared a state of emergency for 30 counties. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper and South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster also declared states of emergency. Cooper's a Democrat, but the rest of them are Republicans. So, and by the way, Rick Scott in Florida, who declared a state of emergency, has banned his officials inside the state from using the words climate change. Whether you ban the words or not, it's still a reality. So you can't get rid of the concept by just by banning the words. And by the way, what is that? That is the literal definition of political correctness. Climate change might be scientifically correct, but in the state of Florida, it is not politically correct. So you're not allowed to utter the words if you work for the state. But you've got to prepare, because whether you say the magic words or not, it's coming. And they know it. That's why they've declared a state of emergency in all those states, despite what their right-wing propagandists say. Now, if you think it's bad for us, it's much worse for some of the countries in the Caribbean. Let's go to the Bahamas. The Prime Minister of the Bahamas says this is the largest such evacuation in the history of our country. Some of the islands of the Bahamas aren't more than 9 feet above sea level. Storm surges there may be 20 feet. You get the idea what's going to happen to those islands. That's now Chad Myers, a CNN meteorologist, who said that. If they're only 9 feet above sea level and the sea surge is 20 feet, it doesn't take a meteorologist to do that math. This is going to be terrible. And Barbuda is already hit and in utter destruction. CNN reports the island is, quote, barely habitable with nearly all its buildings damaged. To give you more context, about 95% of the buildings in Barbuda, one of two major islands, the nation of Antigua and Barbuda, are damaged, Prime Minister Gaston Brown said. 95% of the buildings. Irma's eye passed directly over Barbuda on Wednesday, leaving the small island's 1,800 residents largely incommunicado for hours because it knocked over the telecommunication system and cell towers. Now, some of the people who told you about climate change, which are all scientists, told you that some islands might literally be underwater, might disappear from the earth. So hopefully the people of Barbuda recover, but right now their island is absolutely devastated. Almost every building is damaged, every citizen affected, and for a while there they were cut off from the rest of the world. This is what climate change looks like. So let me show you the path one more time for the storm here. And the reason it gets wider is because the further you go out, the more of a range it has. It can go left, it can go right. So it might hit Miami directly, it might graze Miami, but hit the southern states harder depending on its path. And it has already hit some of those islands and it is affecting Puerto Rico. Let me show you more pictures. Mother Nature ain't nothing to mess with. If it comes for you, there's nothing you could do about it. So winds this strong, the sea rising up, what are you going to do? You're going to move all the cars, you're going to move all the crates, you're going to move all the boats, you're going to move all the buildings. How are you going to do that? You can't. So this is what happens. And again, we're only at the beginning of this storm. We're not at the middle of it, we're not at the end of it. It hasn't even hit the US yet, at least the mainland. And as you can see, complete and utter destruction in some of the places that it has hit. This is really scary stuff, dangerous stuff. And guys, if you hear any idiot on the right or anywhere else telling you that it's not real and that you shouldn't move, for God's sake, don't listen to them. Listen to the authorities, listen to the meteorologists and the scientists. If they say it's headed in your direction, get out. Save yourself, save your family. And like I said, even the Republican governor of Florida now saying, look, don't worry about your house. We can rebuild your house. We can't rebuild your family. You got to go. So listen to exactly what your local authorities are telling you to do and follow up. But I will end on this note. One part of the path of the storm goes through here. Let's pull this up now. It goes potentially right through Palm Beach, where there are two interesting places, Mar-a-Lago and Rush Limbaugh's house. So let's see if he's true to his word and doesn't really believe it and stays right there, right on the ocean. Since I am a progressive and actually care about other human beings, Rush, don't be an idiot, leave. But we'll see if he follows through or doesn't. And if he runs in a panic, you'll have your answer as to whether he thinks it's fake or not. And if he stays, we have a completely different answer. Science is real. It doesn't care about your emotions, and it doesn't care about your propaganda. Whether you deny it or not, one day it comes a-knocking. And that's today. Okay, now, last story for you guys in this hour. There's a huge difference between the right wing and the left wing. The right wing wants to destroy the mainstream media and replace it with its own propaganda. We on the left want to improve the media. So we give from time to time a constructive critique of what I think that they're doing wrong. This is one of those instances. John Herman from the New York Times wrote an article that I think was terrible, shoddy journalism. And the reason for that, and the reason why it got printed and the editor signed off on it, and the New York Times was happy to run it, is because the mainstream media has internalized the right-wing propaganda that it is liberal media. So they do not want to cover the left. They do not want to give it credence. But every opportunity they get, they hype up the right. Oh my God, Rush Limbaugh. Oh my God, Fox News. Do they ever give you proper context? Has anybody ever actually tracked how many listeners Rush Limbaugh has? No, they take this the word of Talkers Magazine, which itself admits that they're making the number up. The mainstream press gives Rush Limbaugh so much more credit and power than he deserves. No one has ever bothered to verify his numbers. Glenn Beck, no one bothers to verify his numbers. He said he had 300,000 subscribers when he launched the Blaze. He says he has 300,000 now, many years later. Which one is it? Did you not gain a subscriber or lose a single subscriber? Nobody ever checks because they go, oh, Glenn Beck, oh, Rush Limbaugh, Fox News. Oh my God, everybody has to listen to Fox News. Do you know the average age of Fox News viewers is 68 years old? They give them way too much power and respect. But when it comes to the left, they literally refuse to cover it. So this is an example of that. So in this article, their thesis of the New York Times was that the YouTube is dominated by the right wing. It is preposterous and completely incorrect, as I will show you the numbers in a second. Let me quote the article for you. They say YouTube is host to just one dominant native political community, the YouTube right. How could you possibly say that with a straight face? Did you not do a single shred of research for this? So they take, for example, these smaller outlets. I've never even heard of Black Pigeon Speaks, and they say BPS, Black Pigeon Speaks, has by any objective standard a significant and engaged audience at the moment. He has about 215,000 followers, and his uploads have been viewed more than 25 million times. Great. If you think that's a significant following, I assume the New York Times will be writing endless stories about us every single day, because we are so much larger than that. I'm not sure I could do the math on it. 215,000 followers. That's a pimple on our ass. And the New York Times writes a giant story about it. But hey, if you want to say that's important and significant, then you should be covering us nonstop. Hey, I'll do the research for you. I'll give you the numbers, and you should go ahead and actually do some journalism and verify it for yourself. So they say, okay, well, that's a modest size one. They say the biggest one is Paul Joseph Watson of InfoWars. He's 35, and they say he's perhaps the archetypal YouTube right vlogger. He has nearly a million followers. Ooh. And his videos have been viewed more than 215 million times. Well, that seems like a big number. And they take his word for everything. Now, look, those numbers are actually accurate. The context is what's missing here. And then they take his quote from a tweet. He says, Twitter is a tiny echo chamber. I'm not sure the left understands the monumental ass whooping being dished out to them on YouTube. Oh, we'll get to the monumental ass whooping in a second when I show you the real numbers. And what does New York Times do? They just take his word for it. So all that talk of liberal media, and they're like, oh, this insane vlogger who has ridiculous lunatic conspiracy theories says something, it must be true. The very next sentence in the article is, and in terms of sheer numbers and visibility on the platform, the YouTube right is substantial. Okay, well, again, I'll get to it in 1 second. One last quote where they fluff up the right wing. There are countless other forms of political expression on YouTube, but no bloc is anywhere near as organized or as assertive as the YouTube right, and it's dozens of vloggers, nor is there a coherent group on the platform articulating any sort of direct answer to this budding form of reaction. Really? There's no one with an answer to them, huh? All right, well, let's look at Paul and Joseph Watts and see if the New York Times has the right numbers. This is from his YouTube page. And you can see there, yes, he does in fact have over 1 million subscribers and now up to 226 million views. Well, that sounds like a lot. And if you're a mainstream reporter and you've never ever seen YouTube and you can't do your job, you might go, well, I got to write an article about that and then I'm done with it. Well, let me show you our numbers. That is 3.43 million subscribers and 3.7 billion views. What was that about a monumental ass whooping? 3.7 billion views, and that's just one of our channels. That's the flagship channel. Okay, let me show you our smaller channels, which are all great. You should watch them. Think Tank. Hey, look at that. 1.3 million subscribers, more than, oh, the biggest guy on the right. 560 million views. But yet, no one has an answer for the right wing. Let's go to Secular Talk, also on the TYT network. 500,000 subscribers, but look at the view count. 361 million views. I assume there's going to be a giant New York Times article about how Kyle Kulinski on Secular Talk is kicking the living crap out of the right wing on YouTube. Where's your article on that? You didn't do any research, did you? Here's our smaller channels, TYT Sports. Also more views than the biggest right winger they could find. 249 million views there. Pop Trigger, our entertainment channel. Also more views, 237 million views. By the way, great entertainment and sports stuff there. NFL season is coming out, check out TYT Sports. Okay, now for the entire network, if they had actually done the research. TYT across YouTube and Facebook, to be fair, has 7 billion views. We're actually about to get to 7.5 billion views, as many people as exist on the planet. Now, those are views, not unique viewers. See, unlike them, we're fair. 11 million subscribers. You want to talk about no answer? They have no answer for us. You go on every one of those podunk right wing channels, you know what you'll find? A video about the Young Turks. Why? Because we're the giants. We dominate YouTube and all of online media. Among millennials, according to ComScore, God, look up any ranking. According to ComScore, among millennials, we beat not these podunk right wingers, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News combined. New York Times, it's called research, it's called journalism, look into it. So, we took all of the guys that they mentioned as giant big deals in the New York Times, all the right wingers, and we added them up. You got BPS, Paul Joseph Watson, Stefan something or other, Lauren Southern, Steven Crowder. Wow, that's almost 3 million subscribers, 2,999,000. When you add all of them up, that looks like a lot. Let me see TYT subscribers. Again, not for the whole network, for just one channel. We beat all of them combined. No answer? Are you kidding me? That, I believe, is what is called a monumental ass whooping. And now let me show you another ranking, VidStats X. You can look any ranking you want. Hey, look at that. Who's number one on YouTube in the news category? The Young Turks. Number two is ABC, and then you have CNN at number five. Wait. There's a guy I see down there. To be fair, there is another conservative slash conspiracy theorist. He's kind of in a planet of his own. But show me the next slide there. Oh yeah, all the way down at number 10, Alex Jones. And that's their father figure. That's their big daddy. down at number 10. Congratulations, Alex. You made the list. New York Times, I know that you have disdain for the left wing. You never want to cover the left wing. It's true for all the mainstream media. The Tea Party does something, they go ballistic. Left wing does Democracy Spring. The most amount of arrests in Capitol Hill history because of civil disobedience on getting money out of politics. Thousands of people arrested. An amazing moment, no coverage. I asked one of the cable news hosts, and I said, if the Tea Party had broken the record for most arrests at the Capitol, would you have covered it? And he begrudgingly said, yes, of course we would have covered it. Because if the right wing does something, the mainstream media goes, oh, we're not liberal media. Right wing, you're so great, you're so amazing. I won't check your numbers. I won't check any context. Right wing, right wing, right wing. When the left wing does something, when progressives in this country do something, it is met with enormous disdain and no coverage at all. So unfortunately, in this one case, this was the definition of fake news. New York Times, I know they hate you, but we actually want you to do better. This was not better. This was terrible. Young Turks.